I shared the Shabbos something really incredible. There's a very strange concept of Akaras HaTayv. Are you familiar with that? In Parashas Mishpatim, it says if you shecht a cow, or you find a sheep that's totally treif, what do? There's a mitzvah to throw it to the dogs. Are you familiar with that? It's a pasuk in the Sefer Parasha. Why?
Because he didn't bark.
So the Gemara says it didn't bark when we left Mitzrayim. So you have to have a Akaras HaTayv. Because they were quiet. So they for what?
Who cares if they
bark? No, it made it pleasant for the end. That the pasuk says already in Parashat. It's a pasuk that says when we left Mitzrayim, the Chol B'nai Yisrael, the Yechatz Kel B'Shani, the dogs didn't bark and they let us out. Good? This is the situation of what it says in the pasuk. Happened to me as a very interesting phenomenon about Akaras HaTayv, because really it's interesting, because that dog did nothing for you, you never left Mitzrayim, why are you obligated to give a thank you to the dog who for your great 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 grandfather didn't, you understand?
Why do you have to think like Hashem made it do that? It's not like he had a choice,
right? So Rashi explains that we have a concept that everyone has to give reward, even though they made it an intellectual user. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hit the water because the water helped them. So the answer is, it's not the water that's in pain or you hit the ground, it's a you should learn a curse today. Excellent question. You're just asking, if that's the case, then I'll take questions afterwards. If that's the case, then why, right? We know Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hit the water. Aaron HaKohen didn't hit the water because they got saved with water. So it's your sensitivity. But I saw something really incredible. Listen to this. You wake up in the morning and you find a dead sheep in your field. What does the Torah say to do? Give it to the dog. Says Taisus, there's a parish of Taisus on Chumash, he says, whose fault is it that the wolf ate the sheep?
The dogs.
What do the dogs do for people?
They guard the sheep.
Says the Daz HaKeinim, an incredible concept in Akaras HaTayv. You ready for this? It's magnificent. He says, the dog dropped the ball this time, right? The dog didn't do his job. So you might say, punish it.
Beat the dog.
He says, you have to remember that Akaras HaTayv means, you ready for this? What does Akaras HaTayv mean? That even when the person drops the ball, you still have to remember that they're usually good and they're always around for you. This is so mind-boggling. So he learns the Akaras HaTayv specifically for the meat, for this trefer that got killed by this wolf, whoever else tore apart the sheep. Even though the dog dropped the ball this time and he didn't come through, still what should you do? Give it to him. It's really important because sometimes you have parents, you have a Rebbe, you have someone who's always there for you, and the person made a mistake, right? The person made a mistake. It never happens that parents make a mistake and they do something wrong. Or Rebbe makes a mistake, or a teacher makes a mistake. It happens. And the natural instinct is, let it out. They're terrible. What does the Torah teach us? Stay focused for all the good they do. And even if they drop the ball once, it doesn't mean you need to change your position on them. This is how important Akaras HaTayv is in Yiddishkeit. We'll all call Yehudim, but this is the essence of a Jew. I shared a story this past Shabbos on this topic. And I actually verified the story. The story took place with the Rav in Passaic, and I actually called his son to confirm that the story is true. An amazing story. About 7 or 8 years ago, there's a fellow in Passaic whose name is Bernard Helstein, an elderly gentleman who unfortunately lost his wife. And he was living alone. And unfortunately, as comes with age, sometimes his eyesight started going on him and he needed a service dog. And he had a German Shepherd that was his service dog. His friends told him that to live alone in Passaic, where, you know, it's not the life, he should move to Florida and join the assisted living with as many observant Jews, and he could live a life where he has shul in-house instead of going in the ice, trying to understand assisted living places from assisted living place. Good idea? He decides, he does it, does his research, and he finds a beautiful building, and he puts pretty much all his savings into a down payment of it. Eventually he'll sell his house, but for right now, and he tied up all the money that he had, and he took an apartment in the assisted living place. Great. But after he did that, he was excited to find that he read through the paperwork, which many people do. They read through the paperwork, and there's an explicit rule that absolutely no pets in the building, including service dogs. If you know anything about Hasidic Yidden, pets are the worst. They run away from dogs. I grew up in Borough Park. I never saw a dog. I moved to Boston. I learned that people have dogs. I literally can count on who saw dogs. So this building, which I think is mostly Hasidic Yidden, had a rule, no pets, period. Lamaisa, this guy was devastated because he's just tied up all his money. And he quickly called his Rav. And he told his Rav, like, this is a crisis. What are we going to do? I tied up all my money. His Rav felt terrible for him. This man, no wife, he's losing his eyesight, and now he can't even. He does his research and he finds out that the owner is a Hasidic Yid. A 94, 95-year-old guy who lives in Florida. And he figures, I'm going to get like an exception for the rule. And he finds out that this guy's coming to his grandchild's wedding in Borough Park. So he calls him up, he says, can I make a meeting with you? And the fellow tells him, yeah, before the wedding that day, come meet me in Borough Park. We had a house in Borough Park. Before the wedding, he goes in. And the fellow's sitting there, and he sees that the guy has tattooed numbers on his arm. You know what that means, right? He's a Holocaust survivor. And this Rabbi Eisman's thinking to himself, this is really going to be a bad pitch. Asking a Holocaust survivor to allow a German Shepherd in. German Shepherds were used by the Nazis to search these people, to search these hidden. And he said he literally got cold feet. He's debating, like, why am I even wasting my time asking? But he said, listen, I'm here to help Bernard. I'm here to help Mr. Hilstein. We're going to do this. And he turns to the guy and says, I have a request. I know you have a building that's pet-free. People don't like it. And there's plenty of buildings that have pets. He didn't realize when he took it. I'm asking you, could you please sign a waiver for this one service dog? And this Hasidic Holocaust survivor starts having tears flow down his eyes. And Rabbi Eisman felt really bad, because he felt like he's touching on a raw nerve, and he's like almost ready to apologize and go. And the guy says, you're not going to believe it, I'm going to tell you now. About 78 years ago, whatever it was at that point, in 1945, it was the end of the war, and the Germans knew what was coming. They knew that they're done. You know what they tried to do? They tried to kill as many Jews as they could on the way out. The last couple of weeks were terrible. They literally was mowing down Yidden, because they knew that they're finished anyway. And he goes, one day they were doing that, and I was hiding under the barracks, under the beds, call them beds, or whatever, under those planks of wood that people slept on. And the Nazis walked in with a German Shepherd. And I was laying under that bed. And the German Shepherd comes down, and we lock eyes. I'm looking at him, and he looks at me, and you know what that means? And I said, Apostle, are you familiar that there's a school if you ever get chased by a dog? To say the pasuk in Parshas Boy, L'chol b'nei Yisrael l'yachetz kel v'shani, which is the pasuk that says that it didn't mark. That pasuk, if a dog's chasing you, wants to hurt you, you should say that pasuk. It's a known skula. He says, I was saying that pasuk over and over again, and the German Shepherd took one look at me and turned around and didn't bark. He says, at that point, I said, Hashem, I will pay back the German Shepherd one day. He says, it's 78 years later, I never paid back this dog. Very simple, because when you hang around Borough Park on Williamsburg, it's hard to find German Shepherds to pay back. And he says, I never paid it back, but I did make that commitment. I will now pay back my 78-year-old debt. And he signed him a waiver right then and there for this German Shepherd. And now this service dog was allowed. What are the lessons of the story? Hundreds. Number one, Hakaras HaTov, that's obvious. But I thought of something else. That if a person wants to do something strongly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help them accomplish that. But the moral of the story is, what do we learn here? Even a dog, even an inanimate object, whatever it may be, is a chiv hakaras hatayf. You benefited from someone. Like someone just asked, well, what does the dog know? What does the dog, who do you ask? What does the dog know? What did the dog ask? It doesn't make any difference. Hakaras HaTayyib means, even to a, this person said, I am Makar Tayyib to the German Shepherd. Even though he wasn't doing, was he helping that exact German Shepherd? No. Same reason when we give meat to a dog, are we helping the exact dog that didn't bark? Because it's not about rewarding the dogs, it's about you becoming a grateful person. You becoming a person that recognizes. So when you talk about Chas V'Shalom, your parents, or your friends, or Kadosh Baruch Hu, on Shabbos I shared that there was an article written by a fellow Hillel Fold. I don't know if many of you saw it. That came out on Friday, where he went on to explain how many Nisim happened with these bus bombings that were intended. There were supposed to be 8 buses and 5 light rail terrorists. Did you hear this? They set the timer wrong.
Yeah, it was 9.
They said the 9 p.m. instead of 9 a.m. These buses would have been jammed. You have to see pictures of these buses. And this was all supposed to be a stage. So they were going to do an infiltration again from the West Bank. Terrible story. There was a whole... There's still not everything's public yet, but he shared this, that he had access to all this information. Turns out these guys are messed up because that didn't go off. The suicide bombers didn't go onto the trains and the infiltrators didn't come in. So it's a very... They tried to distract the whole, like everyone from the borders running into inner Eretz Yisrael, and then they would infiltrate the borders again. Like an October 7th style. Terrible, terrible thing. And this is a nace. And what Hillel Fold writes in this article is so beautiful. This nace, the Mossad didn't know about it. The IDF didn't know about it. The Shin Bet didn't know about it. No one knew about this. There could have been a bus like that exposed in the middle of a city on a Friday morning, 9 a.m. You know what 9 a.m. is on Friday morning? It's bustling. Everyone's shopping. And what happens? Explodes. The amount of people in the bus, it was huge bombs. You have to see what these buses look like. Nobody would have survived it. Unlikely anyone would have survived that bomb. And, at least not without burns on most of their body. And the people around the middle of busy streets. And Hashem made a mistake without any, no one, oh, it was IDF, was this. They knew nothing about it. Went right under their nose. And it was an ace. And you know what's beautiful? When did the nays happen? Which day? The day that Klal Yisrael was in tremendous despair. I don't know what you felt like, but many people saw pictures of the bodies of these two little Bibas children. Did you know how hard that was to see? Two children, they were tortured and choked. Today they did all sorts of forensic testing. Terrible what they did to these kids. But what happened? It was a day when people felt like we're off Hashem's radar screen. It was like a very disheartening day. What does Kosh Baruch Hu do? He pulls off this most incredible nace. Obvious nace. There's no other way to interpret this. And derails their whole plan. Why is it important? That someday when you don't feel grateful to Hashem, you feel like you're going through a hard challenge or a hard time, remember this nace. The nace of the Iranian missiles, the nace of Syria falling apart, whatever nace you want to choose that was directly Hashem, with very little or no human intervention, and become grateful and recognize that even when there's a tough day, you remember. And that's the lesson, because even by a dog, what do we say? Lahabla, by a dog, if one day you're not feeling grateful to the dog because you feel like he messed up, you still have to be grateful. A billion times separation times, a billion times, a billion times, you're talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is always really good anyway. We just don't perceive it or recognize the good. What do you have to do? Remember that it's always good. And if one day you're feeling a little bad, think about all the major nisim that happened. It'll give you tremendous chizuk.